So this morning, we're going to start a series on love. Now, what is love? That's what we're going to really talk about this morning. Because in my opinion, if there is a more overused term in the world today, it's the word love. It gets thrown around really, I guess you'd say, almost haphazardly. Matter of fact, if there's a word that we use more often that we really either A, just don't understand, or really, not only do we not understand it, but we have no, I guess, concept on how to actually show people how we feel, it's the word love. Now, as followers of Christ, we've been taught that love is the most powerful thing in the universe. It really is. Matter of fact, we want it. We know that other people need it. And matter of fact, life just doesn't seem, I guess you'd say, this have the same meaning unless we have love involved. It kind of reminds me of, you know, the story in the Bible where Jesus asked Peter a certain statement. He said, "Do you love me?" Well, we're going to look at that this morning. So turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 21. Now, for those of you who are visiting, we often will put the scriptures up behind me, so it allows you to kind of follow if you didn't bring your Bible, or sometimes you brought your Bible and you just kind of want to listen, you can follow along behind me. But John chapter 21, starting in verse 15, it says, "When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Feed my lambs.' He said to him a second time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Tend my sheep.' He said to him the third time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you.' Jesus said to him, 'Feed my sheep.'" Have you ever wondered why it seems so hard sometimes to give love? Well, here, let me quote a very famous philosopher. You may have heard of her. Her name is Tina Turner. Very famous, very famous. Matter of fact, she asked us a very important question. Right? She said, "What's love got to do with it?" Matter of fact, she said, "What's love but a secondhand emotion? I mean, who needs a heart when a heart can be broken?" All right, I know that's kind of a blast from the past from some of you who are a little older. The younger ones are like, "I have no clue what the heck he's talking about here." But I mean, whether we're willing to admit it or not, the truth is many of us live that kind of lifestyle. We do. We, matter of fact, when you don't feel you can find love, you almost are quick to dismiss it as if you don't need it. You know, I can live without it. If I can't find it, I mean, why bother? Or if I'm going to get hurt by it, then why bother as well? But I can tell you this, the world is hungry for love. They are. They're hungry for love. Matter of fact, the problem is that many are following another famous, all right, this one isn't really that famous. But all right, there's a singer whose name was Johnny Lee, and he asked a really important thing. He told us that we're looking for love in all the wrong places. Now, I don't know why, but inside of us is a longing to feel love, don't we? Well, actually, we do understand that. Why? Because we know that God is love. And whether you understand God or not, there is a hunger inside of you for God that you don't understand. The world has hungry for God, and they just may not know who God is or why, but there's a longing inside them. But that's okay, right? Because we're followers of Christ. We have the ability to love people the way that Jesus loved them. We do. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that's how we're going to be recognized by the world. As a matter of fact, it says that in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. John 13, 34 through 35. It says, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, just as I've loved you. you are also to love one another. By this, all people will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. Now, think about this, though. If love was so easy, kind of so natural, you know, so normal, if it didn't really take a lot of effort, why did God have to command us to do it? It's because it's quite hard to do, isn't it? There tends to be a high cost involved when we want to give someone love. Matter of fact, it even gets even harder when we try to love people that we don't even like, right? Now, we've been trying to focus on relationships at Faith Christian Assembly in 2017, right? We have relationships with God. We have relationships with other believers. Some of us are married and we have a marriage relationship. And we all have some level of relationship with people who do not follow Christ, right? Now, if we want to be successful in those relationships, we need tools to accomplish that purpose. We do. Matter of fact, and the greatest tool we will learn in any relationship is love. Now, in this series, we're not only going to explore what love is, we'll also learn the different ways that we can share love in the different relationships that we have. Matter of fact, obviously, it's going to be different depending on the person. We love different people in different ways depending on how we know them, depending on what that relationship is. But now, we're going to take this to the next level. This isn't something that we're just going to be doing on Sunday mornings. Our small groups that happen during the week on a weekly basis, right now we currently have one on Tuesday, we have one on Thursday. We're hoping to be able to start a third one as well. But we're going to spend time covering this sermon series. We have a video presentation that we have, a curriculum that we want to use, so you get even more teaching on what love is. And the benefit is that you're going to be doing it with your fellow brothers and sisters. So not only are they going to be able to pour love into you, but they'll probably help you coming up with different ways that you can show love. I'm telling you, iron sharpens iron. Now, there are many different forms of love that are actually described in the Bible, and we're going to look at all of them this morning. Now, what I want to do is I want to explain each one, show you which ones are used in different relationships, and then I want to talk through what is God's, probably what you'd call his ideal way for us to show love to people in all the relationships that we have. Now, because whether we like it or not, we are commanded by God to love everyone. Pastor, everyone? Yes, everyone. Even the one who's a jerk? Yes, even that one. Pastor, what about the one who went out of their way to get me? Yep. That one too. Pastor, what about, no, look, wait a minute. There are no exclusions listed in the Bible. We are called to love every single person, regardless. Pastor, that's not possible. Well, let's look. Luke chapter 10. You're going to get a good amount of the Bible this morning. Is that okay? Good. You're getting it. Luke chapter 10. I want to read just part of a parable that Jesus, actually, I may not even hit the parable part. Well, let's start in verse 25. Let's see how far. Luke 10, verse 25, it says, "And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said to him, 'What's written in the law? How do you read it?' And he answered, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You've answered correctly. Do this and you will live.' But he said, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'Who is my neighbor?'" Now, we've read the rest of the story, right? I did a sermon series on this earlier, right? And we looked at who our neighbor is. And who was our neighbor? Everybody. It was. It's every single person that God has intentionally put in wherever you are. So you know what? It's every single person in your home. It's every single person that you bump into at school. It's every single person that's on your sports team. It's the person that you bump into every single week at Dunkin' Donuts. You know, the one who always gets your coffee wrong? Yes, that's your neighbor. Every single person you know. Now, that can be a challenge though, right? If we've got to love all of them, Now, why would I say that? Well, because we know that most people aren't always lovable. They're not lovely all the time, are they? Well, and if we were to be honest, we're not either. Truth, right? All right, let's be honest. You know, there's, you know, once in a while, you might be a little irritable. Just a little bit. So I'm guessing, though, because Jesus said, if you want to get to heaven, you got to remember, because that's what the lawyer asked. How do I get to heaven? Well, if Jesus kind of put that as a requirement, wouldn't it be wise for us to learn what love is and how to do it? I think so. All right, so what's love? In the Bible, there's really three different forms. There's a fourth, but it's rarely used. But I'm going to cover the three major forms of love that are in the Bible. The first one's eros. The first one is eros. Now, eros, it's the physical and the sensual attraction between a man and a woman. It is. It's the name, matter of fact, it's the name of the mythological Greek god. He's the Greek god of love. He's the Greek god of sexual desire. He's the Greek god of physical attraction. Really, any type of physical love. Now, this erotic love, it's actually described in the Old Testament. Go to the Song of Solomon. All throughout that psalm, you're going to see eros love in action. You're going to see it portrayed, described. It's actually a good read if you're willing to take the time and read through it. But let's be clear, though. God says in the Bible that eros love, it's only for marriage between a husband and a wife. That's what it is. Matter of fact, sex outside of marriage, it's forbidden. I know that's not a popular thing in church today, but that's the truth. Sex outside of marriage is forbidden. You're not allowed to do it. God created humans, male and female, in the garden, and he designed it to be a perfect union. That's where marriage originated. God separated them, and they were joined together, and they became one. The problem is when we choose to ignore and really just disobey God's perfect design. I mean, relationships, especially marriage, that are built, though, on only this form of love, I can tell you this, they're going to be rocky. Why? Because, look, within marriage, sex is, I mean, it's, look, I'm married. I got four kids. I can tell you, it's great. Love it. Big proponent of it. It's healthy. It's satisfying. It emotional and spiritually, it enriches you. And that's how we grow. Literally grow. But see, relationships so that are only built on eros love are destined to eventually fail. Why? Because looks fade. People get in bad moods. Eventually, there's no desire to have anything romantic or sensual going on in that relationship. And usually when that happens, one or both of the people decide, I'm going to get my eros love somewhere else. Now, the second form of love is phileo. That's the second form. Now, it's best described as, I guess you'd call it companion love or brotherly love. That's probably one of the better ways of describing it. This love is all about affection, fondness, liking. It's, matter of fact, it's love that's kind of drawn out of our heart in response to something that someone else does. It's a response. You do something really nice for me, and what do I want to do then? I want to do something really nice for you. It's a response. Matter of fact, the biggest difference between eros love and phileo love, eros is all about me. I want my needs and I pursue them until I get what I want. That's what eros love is all about. I have needs and I want them fulfilled. Phileo love's a little different. It's a love that's about us. It's not really just about me, it's about us. You do something nice for me and I want to do something nice back to you. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's from both people. But see, the interesting thing, though, is even phileo love, you can't build a relationship on it in the long term. You can't. You know why? Because as soon as you stop doing all those nice things for me, well, then it ends. Because I'll then find someone else who will do the nice things for me. Now, If you look at those two definitions of love, you may think in your mind, well, I just described two bad forms of love. I didn't. I just described you two God-created forms of love, both necessary and needed. Look, without Eros love, there'd be no kids running around. There wouldn't be. Let's be honest here. You know, we would all die out. Without Phileo love, in action, there would be very little to no relationships developed. Matter of fact, in marriage, you need Phileo love. Why? Because you should respond to the good things that your spouse does to you. When they do something nice in return. It's a good reminder to you. But see, the problem is that many relationships, they stop there. They don't go to the form of love that God designed for relationships to be built on. See, because both of those two forms of love are missing one really important component. It's called commitment. See, this form of love is not dependent on what you're getting from someone else. It has nothing to do with that at all. It is 100% built on choice. It's 100% your decision. It's 100% based on commitment, which means it's given unconditionally. You do it no matter what. Now, I'm going to spend the rest of the time this morning kind of covering that form of love. If we're able to grasp this, your relationships will be immeasurably stronger. Your relationship with God will not be able to be shaken. Your marriages will last and weather every single storm. If you master this form of love, people in the world are going to ask you why you're different, because they're going to see something in you that they want. The third form of love is agape love. It's agape love. Now, I want to read the same verse that we started the sermon with back in John 21. Because we see the word love used a few different times in there. Let me describe to you what each of those forms of love are. John 21, verse 15, it says, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. See, what's interesting here, Jesus keeps asking Peter if he loves him. And it's frustrating Peter, right? Because he keeps, finally the third time, he's like, Jesus, you know everything. You know that I love you. But see, the word that Peter is using for love is phileo. The word that Jesus is using is agape. Two different forms of love. See, what Peter is telling Jesus is that, look, I do love you. I love all the incredible things that you've done for me. I love the fact that you died on the cross for me. I love those things. Jesus, I love the fact that you have forgiven me. Matter of fact, even though that I denied you, you still loved me. I love the fact that you did all that for me. I love our friendship. You keep giving to me and giving to me. I love that. But that's not what Jesus was talking about here. I mean, do you understand what Jesus was actually asking Peter? He wasn't asking if Peter liked all the things that he did for him. He wanted to know if Peter was willing to unconditionally follow him no matter what. No matter what Peter would face in life. Now, that's an important question to Peter, right? Because we know Peter, right? He'd already shown that, you know, when the storms come, his foundation was a little shaky. It wasn't built on commitment. It was built on something else. That's why he sank, right? Look, when things got a little strong when Jesus was dying on the cross, that commitment was shaken, right? Because Jesus he was asked, are you a follower? No, not. I'm not 100% in. I'm not 100% committed. See, Jesus wanted to know, Peter, has your love now grown to the point that you're going to follow me no matter what? Even if I don't do another good thing for you, are you still going to follow me? See, that's agape love. See, the word agape is actually used in the Bible over 300 times. It is. It's not based on feelings. It's not earned through words. It's not earned through actions. You cannot earn agape love. It is 100% pure choice. No one forces us to do agape love. Matter of fact, agape love, it's a sacrificial love that volunteers to go through anything. Suffering, inconvenience, discomfort, literally to the point of death, without seeking anything in return. They're just willing to do it. 100% commitment. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. We are called to behave like God. Why? Because we're now his adopted kids. But for us to do that, we have to walk in love in the same way that Jesus loved us. Jesus was willing to sacrifice everything, even though we did absolutely nothing to deserve it. Nothing. Matter of fact, we did the opposite, didn't we? Agape love will rarely ever seem fair. It won't. Matter of fact, there's always big sacrifices that are required if you want to have agape love in your relationships. Big sacrifices. Why? Because we are imperfect people and we do dumb things. We say the wrong thing. We have bad moods. We don't return what sometimes what people give us. We don't. Agape love says, I will treat you based on what I promised God and not what you deserve. See, phileo says, I give you what you deserve. You do something nice for me, I'll do something nice for you. Agape says, no matter what you do, I'm going to do something nice and good for you. That's a game changer, isn't it? Can you imagine relationships built on agape love? I mean, look, we've seen relationships built on eros love, right? They're hot and passionate, aren't they? They're steamy relationships. Outside of marriage, that's sin. It is. But even inside of marriages, eventually those relationships die. They do. The honeymoon period ends. We've seen relationships built on phileo love, though, too, right? I mean, matter of fact, I would wager that most marriages, whether people are willing to admit it or not, are based on phileo love. Look, when your spouse treats you good, you have a happy marriage. When your spouse is not treating you good, you have a terrible marriage. It's only based on what I get. You give me something good, well, I'll give you good something back. You give me some attitude, well, I'm going to give you some attitude. Right? And don't we try to use things in marriages like vacations, sometimes children. People will have children to try to save their marriage. Gifts, one-time, events. Basically, anything that we can do to distract us from the fact that our happiness and our love in the relationship is only there when our spouse is making us want to love them. But see, when that doesn't happen, though, what happens? Storms smack our marriages around. They do, right? Because it's not built on a rock. It's not built on something that does not get shaken. I mean, what does a relationship look like that's built on agape love? Wow. A love that doesn't change? A love that doesn't, that is strong? It's not based on emotion or if I like you or not. It's based on what I promised God. I mean, how does that transform our relationship with our parents or with our kids or with our spouses or with your neighbors or your teachers, your coaches? How does that transform your relationship with your neighbors? Basically, everyone that you come into contact with. How would those relationships look like if there was a commitment of unconditional, undeserved love as the foundation? Turn with me in your Bibles. I'm going to end with this, to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm going to give you a blueprint on what agape love is. And trust me, you're going to want to follow this plan. You will. I know that it's normal for people, though, because I'm going to warn you. Some of you right now, as soon as I said 1 Corinthians 13, you've been in church for a while, you've immediately shut down. You're like, oh, pastor, I've memorized that verse. I can quote it to you. Matter of fact, get out of the way, I'll preach it. I'm going to challenge you this morning. Don't shut me down this morning. Listen to what I've got to say. Look at a healthy reminder of what love is. I want you to look at the not only your marriage relationship, if you're married, but I want you to look at the different relationships that you have in your life. And if you really follow this, how it could transform it. Now, for some of you who you may be new to Jesus, and this is going to be new stuff to you. You know what I'm going to say? Soak it up like a sponge. I promise you, if you get this, it will transform your relationships. It will. If you follow this plan, First Corinthians 13, starting in verse 4. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Let's take them now, one at a time, okay? So love is patient. What that means is love never gives up. Love does not put a time limit on anyone. They will stay true to the end. Love is kind. That means that love cares more for others than themselves. What that means is love would prefer that someone else get their way because of how it would make that person feel. It says that love doesn't envy. That means that love doesn't want what it doesn't have. It means that love doesn't desire what someone else has and tries to poison that relationship because of it. Love isn't boastful or arrogant. That means that love doesn't strut. You know what I mean by that? Love doesn't have a swelled head. Love is not proud. Love does not celebrate your own successes, but actually waits for God and others to do it for you. Love isn't demanding. What does that mean? That means that love doesn't force itself on others. It isn't always me first. It's not self-seeking. So love is selfless, so it doesn't have to get its own way. Winning or losing does not change this person. Love isn't irritable. That means it doesn't fly off the handle. It's not easily angered. Love is not offendable because it understands that God is in control. Love isn't resentful. That means it doesn't keep the score of sins against them. It keeps no record of wrongs. It forgives and forgets, moves on. Love understands just how much we've been forgiven, and that just makes you thankful. Love doesn't rejoice at wrongdoing. That means it doesn't enjoy it when you see someone else having to grovel. You don't enjoy that. You do not delight when evil things happen. Love does not find humor when tragedy or hurtful things strike anyone, even if it's someone you don't like. You actually feel for that person. Love rejoices in the truth. You know what that means? That means it takes pleasure when the truth is revealed. It rejoices. Whenever the truth wins, it is encouraged. Look, love understands that even if the truth makes things more difficult, it's always better than a lie. I'm going to say that one more time because that's really good. Love understands that even when the truth makes things more difficult, it's always better than a lie. Always. Love bears all things. It means it puts up with anything. It always protects, never gives up. Love will always cover people no matter how you feel about them. Whether you like them or not, you're going to cover them over. Love believes all things. You know what that means? It means that they always trust God. Always. It never loses faith. They always keep their eyes on Jesus, no matter what happens in life. Love hopes all things. That means they always look for the best in people. Love is able to find something good in every situation. Even if it takes a little patience to find it, they think it's worth it. Just so they can find something good. I need people like that. Love endures all things. It means it never looks back. It always keeps going to the end. It always perseveres. Love does not know the meaning of the word quit. It just keeps on going. How many marriages need that? Love never ends. Love never dies. It never fails. Love will last forever. Now that's a roadmap, isn't it? Let me end with one scripture. 1 John 4:7-8. We used to sing this as a song growing up. How many of you ever, how many know that song? 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, let us love one another. Okay. All right, I'm old. Sorry. All right, 1 John 4:7. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves is a child of God and knows God, but anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world that we might have eternal life through him. That's what 2017 has been for us at FCA. It's learning that we were not designed to live life alone. We weren't. Our first responsibility is to grow our relationship with God. It is. It has to be the rock solid foundation of every other relationship we have. If it's not, those will crumble. Make God first. We also know that God created us with a specific purpose that we are designed to accomplish here on this earth. I can promise you this about that purpose. It will involve other people. It will involve where you will have to develop relationships with people outside. You won't be able to accomplish it alone. The only way for you to do that successfully is to be able to love the way that Jesus not only modeled for us, but how he shows us how to love him inside the Word of God. Now, I'm going to tell you, when you read through 1 Corinthians 14, if you don't find a challenge in there, you're not being honest with yourself. I can promise you that some of you, as I was reading through that, one of them hit you like, oh, that was, yeah. If you're married, if you've got sons or daughters, if you've got parents, if you've got coworkers, if you have friends you're really close to, one of those got you and you're like, yeah. Because you know why? Because you value those things in your own life. Look, you can decide today to make a change in your life. Because remember, agape love is 100% choice. Has nothing to do with whether they deserve it or not. Has nothing to do whether you feel like doing it or not. It all comes down to, are you willing to unconditionally commit to love that person? FCA needs to grow in love. We do. We need to grow in love toward each other. Why? Because I see plenty of empty seats. You know what that means? It means that there are opportunities for you to love on someone this week and love them to Jesus. Not pound them to Jesus, not argue them to Jesus, not condemn them to Jesus, but love them to Jesus. Look, the world is really good at finding all the faults. Read the news. What's the first thing that you're going to find? They did this bad thing. He did this bad thing. They're that bad person. We as the followers of Jesus should be loving people so much that they just want to hang out with us. And when they ask why, we say, because of him. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good deeds and end up glorifying your Father in heaven. That's our marching orders, isn't it? Well, over the next 5 weeks, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be looking at five different love languages. How the Bible talks about them, how we can incorporate them into our life and become the followers of Christ that he's called us to be. Because I can promise you, your purpose is not designed for just you and God. It's designed to reach the world. We are called to make disciples. We're called to shine the love of Jesus. So unless we're doing that, we're not fulfilling what God's asked us to do. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Why don't you stand with me this morning?